Anybody have any questions with these two verses?
You should.
Now, what were the verses again?
Luke 17, 20, and 21.
Okay.
Did I say John?
Yeah.
That's what happens when you sleep. Anybody have any questions about these two verses?
Not necessarily a question, but how it says it does not come with observation.
Okay.
Comes with signs, it says. Or observation.
Signs to be observed.
Signs to be observed is what you were saying?
Yeah, the one that
it's not coming with signs to be observed.
Not coming with signs to be observed.
Kind of sound like John. To enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. When wind blows and you don't know where it comes from, or such as those who are born in the Spirit, right? It's the same philosophy. How do you enter it? You must be born again. So there's a kingdom principle that we're just going to, some kingdom principles I want to talk. Yes?
We cannot hear you.
You cannot hear me. Okay. Just wait and I'll try to speak up. So we're going to look and talk about kingdoms today. What is a kingdom? That's a question. What do you guys think a kingdom is? It's basic simplicity that we're going to talk about, but the scriptures talk about keeping it simple. And so, what is a kingdom? Okay. Anyone?
Well, the NEC says the kingdom of God is a major theme of Jesus. It is a realm in which Jesus rules and to which those who trust him belong. Luke 6:20.
Okay. Any other thoughts? I just do this because sometimes understanding simplicity. Webster's definition of a kingdom. So I would go back, because you can look at it as the world's principle, but Webster was a believer. They say, so Webster's definition is a territory or country subject to a king. An undivided territory under the dominion of a king or a monarch. We live in a world where you're either a part of one kingdom or you're a part of another. There's no in-between. Right? Kingdom of darkness. Kingdom of light. Man turned over that power in the garden, and since then, the Lord has been working his plan out to restore. But Jesus tells us that in, Mark 1:14 tells us that after John was put in the prison, it says Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So it's something, the teaching of the kingdom of God was not like the term, like being born again was new to Nicodemus. Jesus preaching and talking about the kingdom of God, a land, is terminology. They understood kingdom living. They understood that God was going to come and reign and rule and set everything up. They were living under Roman authority. Correct? They were living under a mean taskmaster, which is just a picture and a type of the real ruler that was ruling them. Messiah to come and set up an earthly kingdom, which he will. Right? The millennial reign will be set up. But it doesn't always come the way everyone expects it. And I think a lot of times that it's a struggle for us as we consider and talk about and think about what does it mean to be actually living in, living as part of the kingdom of God today. I think we all know what it's like to live in the kingdom of darkness. That's why we wanted to turn the light switch on, right? We wanted something different. But I know as we went through Revelation at the end, it says, you know, talking about those who are crying out, come quickly, Lord Jesus. You know, getting to a point where we see the place where we understand that we, this domain is a crooked and perverse generation. Does that sound familiar? I mean, I know we see things that seems like it's just revving up and speeding up and flying. It should be causing us to more and more cry out, come quickly. To bring us to a place where we want to see his kingdom come. And what's the rest of that? Your will be done. On earth, as it is in heaven. And so as we continue and we walk, that's what we're trying to grow in, right? How to figure out how his will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. So therefore, that kingdom of God, as you walk, well, I'm sorry, but Christ is there and he's king. No matter where he is, the kingdom is. Is that right? Okay. You have to remember that. Because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. So that means the kingdom of God, wherever you go, has a possibility to grow. To be able to live in a way that Jesus, as he taught, he preached the gospel of the kingdom. Okay, so we have a kingdom, a territory. What are those territories that are ruled under the kingdom of God right now? Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The willingness for his kingdom to come on earth is would be as we walk forth and receive it and walk in it. As we yield to the kingdom and grow in his love. There's many other terms for it. A lot of times the kingdom of heaven. Ephesians tells us it's the kingdom of Christ and God. 2 Peter tells us it's the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Colossians 1:13 tells us that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. You see, there's been that transformation, that he's taken you. That's why we needed to be born again, born from above, born of the Spirit. Whatever terminology, however you read it, it's a work of God birthing himself in and opening up and bringing life into you. I personally think it's very strange. I think I read verse 21 troubled me. Because who asked Jesus the question? Jesus said to the Pharisee, the kingdom of God is within you. Doesn't that bother anybody? Tom, yours says in the midst, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay. That wouldn't bother me as much. But I believe that it is within you. How can Jesus look at a Pharisee and tell him the kingdom of God is within him? It wouldn't struck a chord if you read a different version, but how can this be? Any thoughts? Is it when you look at it, how does Jesus look at a Pharisee and say, the kingdom of God is within you?
It's within him if he wants it.
Okay. That's one way to see it.
I go back to the donut man. Like you got Jesus, like the donut, like pull in the middle of your heart, like God's there if he wants to reign and rule, but you have to accept him as king. So he's within, but you have to either acknowledge him or reject him.
We're all his children. Yeah.
What was that? I'm sorry.
We're all his children. We're all, okay. Creating. Yep. Any thoughts? Am I worried about something that doesn't matter? Probably.
Well,
it's just. Okay.
I think it was St. Augustine, if I'm right, that said there's a God shaped wheat in every person. And you see, they're going to be filled with God.
All humans are created in the image of God and have potential to be imagers or to image as much as they yield. Does that make sense? As we yield to Him. So I want to read some verses because that did bother me, and what you're saying, Rose, is how I had to come to this. First off, this Pharisee, just like Nicodemus, came and asked about being, we don't know he's not a believer. Okay? Just because he's a Pharisee doesn't mean he's the devil. We automatically lump people in just because they said Pharisee. But we know Nicodemus came to him at night. We know Joseph of Arimathea came to him and buried him, and they were Pharisees, and some came to believe later. So, just keep that in mind. John 1:9 says that this was that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. So Christ, when every person is born, they have been given enough. There's been given to them a light. Romans tells us that. That 12 tells us that God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Each. Every. I say these things because it's very important, because as we walk out there by faith, understanding, because we're walking in the light of the kingdom of God so that He can reign and rule in our lives, and He wants us to take this message. Romans 1 tells us the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, for what might be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. I want you guys to take this and understand that nobody, person, I don't care if somebody tells you I don't believe in God. Everyone. The scriptures teach has been given a light and enough faith and the ability to humble themselves, to surrender and enter into the kingdom. People might see it, they said that they suppress it. That means they keep gulping it down because it still don't come out. You know, it's trying to hold up. Vomiting out. It's so true in their hearts that they know it. That's what we've been given. Now, Jesus tells us that, you know, we have to be like a little child. Right? We have to accept this transition by faith. We have to come to Him and believe He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And the reason why I'm spending time on this is I think in Proverbs, it talks about without a vision, the people cast off restraint, or in other versions it says, without a vision, people perish. And I think if we don't get a vision of once we enter the kingdom, how do I walk, and where, what am I to do, how do I allow myself to be led by the Lord in His kingdom, I think we just start looking for heaven. and just start going after it and like, oh, I just, you know, today stinks. Let me just take it in. Anybody done that? This morning? You know, so we struggle with these things. So, but there's something the Lord wants us to walk out in and walk in and walk with Him in. And that is kingdom of God living. Kingdom of God principles. How does God rule His kingdom? Is He a dictator?
Truth and mercy.
Okay, truth and mercy.
Love.
Keep going.
Grace.
Forgiveness. Righteousness. Justice. We all should be looking for that, especially when we're being told you can't leave here, you can't leave there, you can't do this, you can't do that. There's freedom in Christ. But the freedom we have to, that we have, needs to be surrendered and walking in the light of who He is. And as we walk in the reality of who He is. The kingdom of God is within Him. Because He wanted to move and to be strong on your behalf and minister to you and in you and through you. And I think a lot of times we get saved with no day-to-day living, day-to-day practice. What do I do with this? Now I just, okay, I'm going to heaven. Well, you're not going to enjoy heaven without enjoying Jesus, right? Heaven, there is no heaven without the Lord. And so, in the meantime, we get to learn to walk by faith and enjoy Him now. We get to enter in to kingdom living. Dimly, we might not, you know, we're going to struggle with the flesh and things. But I think we need to see what God's heart is behind us. Why? If it wasn't for any other reason, why am I here? Okay, God saved Satan. Don't need him there anymore. He got, you know, this is all it is. It's just a test, and then you get pulled out if you pass. There's a reason why we're left behind. I don't mean that with the movie, but there's a reason why we're still here. And that's because God wants His kingdom to start working its way through here so He can see that. That we walk in love, that we walk in righteousness, that we walk in mercy, that we walk in grace. That we walk in truth. But we can only do that as we're governed by God. And the best way to do it is a little child comes and say, hey, this ain't me. Well, actually, you know what? I do believe God created each and every one of us, right? And you've been made perfectly to walk by faith, trusting in Him to do all the things He prepared beforehand to work it and do it, to touch the world around you, right? So He's put a desire in your heart. Don't be Moses. Blah, 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 blah. I can't talk. But I need you. I've given you the ability and all that you need to pertain to the life of godliness. Surrender. Lord. Master. Now, you have to show me how to do this one day. Just to get lost.
I number my pages.
They are numbered, but I just didn't. But the thing is are we living in remembering that this place is not our home? Do you realize you're still a foreigner? I mean, I went through the whole election period thinking, I have got to be crazy. Because I don't think like these people. Well, if you don't fit in, that's good. We should have a different mindset. We should have a different thought process. And we should have a different leading. And resting and trusting. And so I think that if we realize why, He didn't just save us to take us, but that we're here for a purpose. And I think it's very important to realize that He wants to love you, to show His enforced grace out on you, so that you can receive it and pour it out. You should be desiring it in this world. looking for him, because this is nasty. You can't everything.
We traveled a lot this year, but I always couldn't wait till we got home. But then home is still not home that we long for, you know. And so we are sojourners passing through. We are just pilgrims. We aren't going to fit in. We are upside down, or they're upside down, or right side up. Or, you know, just to have that.
Just don't fit in.
Just continually, well, I mean, it helps to, like, what do we hold on to? You know, just hold it all in loosely and enjoy the ride and let Christ grow in us and let the world see him as he grows in us.
Right. But we should be, there's terms of diligence, faithfulness. As a good soldier endures, perseverance. These are things he wants to work in us and through us. But we're set here, and 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that we're ambassadors. Okay, so okay, I enter into the kingdom. He doesn't take me back to the homeland. He leaves me here, so now therefore I become an ambassador. What is an ambassador?
One that represents a country or a place.
Even has privileges, doesn't it? But an ambassador is one who is sent with the authority from wherever they're coming from, with the freedom to walk within the reality of that kingdom that he's from. But he's also there to bring forth those same principles to the kingdom that he's in. So the ambassador is there as the go before the spokesman for the king of the kingdom. So that ambassador is there trying to persuade the other kingdom that this way is better. Right? We are ambassadors of Christ. As though God were pleading through us. Now, some people might say, this is just Paul talking, that's how he felt. I believe that this is the calling and place that God's put on all of us as we enter into the kingdom. Not out of works, but just out of, this is just the truth and reality of this. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Everybody knows there's a God. Everybody has that void. They're all trying to push it down. And by faith, we need to understand that we have a message of a loving king that says, are you tired of getting ripped off and your life being wasted away? And in the end, it's going to end up nothing. For you want a life of peace and joy and rest during your struggles. That's our message. There's not one person out there with all the stuff that's going on there that isn't worthy, that thinks things are great, that don't need hope. Why did you enter into the kingdom? Because he offered you life and something and someone you wanted. The same one is there for everyone else. So some of the things we need to do, like in Hebrews, we look at Abraham and it says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to the place and receive the inheritance. And he went not knowing where he was going, but by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. I think this is very key for us, by faith to believe this place is not my home. I don't have a kingdom to build here. Except his. It's not my home. The foreigner dwelling in tents with Isaac, and the heirs with him of the same promise, as he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It's a mindset. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He gives us the words to give us a hope, to remind us, this place is not your home. There is something so much more I have for you. First and foremost, It's not really a place, it's me. Not me. The Lord saying, I have myself for you. And I will come to you. And I will die with you. And I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. Come. So we have to keep that in mind, that we're not from this country. And there's another thing that I think is very important, because we as Christians, I think, can be just as legalistic as the Pharisees. And we're just waiting around trying to be good people, follow the law, our own law or whatever. But he says, in 1 Peter, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Holy nation, his own special people. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's what the King of the Kingdom is saying about you. You're his own special people. He honors and he loves and cherishes every person in his kingdom. He actually loves, honors, and cherishes every person that chooses not to be in his kingdom. His desire is to see him come. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You see, these things that we need to remind. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, will bring it to remembrance, to remind us. But it is good to remember, I'm not living for this world. I'm living for heaven. While I'm here, I want to abide, resting, trusting, and allow the Lord to lead and guide me. But I do need to let Him. I do need to allow Him to be Lord. I am in a kingdom. I need to choose to yield and rest and trust and obey. You're all priests. His desire is for us to walk in priestly life, where a priesthood is one who went to God for the people. People for God. What we're here to do, that's kingdom living. That we see one another, the body of Christ. We love one another. We encourage one another. We build one another up. And we equip one another. Why? What's the church for? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, that the body of Christ might be built up in all things. When we share, it's to equip. So you go. And walk into things we're learning. That don't mean however the Lord is leading. I always go back to the Solomon's dedication to the temple. And one of the main things he brought out in that is as the foreigner comes to your temple, because they will, moreover, concerning the foreigner. So today, everyone who's not part of the kingdom of God is a foreigner. So when the foreigner comes, who is not of the people of Israel, but has come from a far country, for your name's sake, now this is a prayer from Solomon, for they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm. When he comes and prays towards the temple, hear from heaven your dwelling place and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you. I read that because there is no temple that this happens at now, but I do believe that the Lord is strong on your behalf, and he does things and he brings people to the temple, which is you. So that you have an opportunity to bring glory to God for everything He's doing in your life. He's going to bring, shine a light coming through you, and when He does, He's going to draw people to you. Right? So that you can shine that light in the love, so that they might want to be tired of the wrong kingdom and enter into a new kingdom. Then enter into the joy of the Lord. And we need to do that. I think sometimes we're struggling just to enter in and believe and rest that He does love me, that He is always going to work righteousness, that it's always going to be justice and mercy. His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. That's as you go, because he's in you. These are the things, and he's wanting to do these things through. Not out of obligation, just out of love. Let his love that he's doing, as he frees you, walk in your freedom. 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give defense to everyone who asks when they come to the temple. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. That you may be able to give a reason for the hope that is within you. They must have seen it. Or they wouldn't come to him to see the hope that he had. And there's a reason it does say sanctify the Lord in your heart. Set apart, to set him apart, to seek after him. And as we do, they're going to know something's going on. And as they come, be ready to give an answer. It's about the kingdom. It's about walking in his love, resting in the truth of who he is. As believers, it's day by day. You can enter into a kingdom and be miserable when you don't yield. Man, you're in prison of your mind. But you know when you're yielding. The pure in heart shall see God. That just means no wrong intentions, sincerity, just seeking after him. I did everything here. Any thoughts, questions, subtractions? And I only say that because sometimes I don't feel that way. I don't always want to yield to the kingdom in my life. Sometimes I like to be a jerk. Well, most of the time I am a jerk unless I'm yielding to the kingdom of God in my life. So, we have choices. We get to. We get to allow Him to live His life through us. He's not asking you to do it. He's asking you to let Him do it. And it all happens is we agree with Him and we walk in it. And when it happens, don't look in the mirror and say, "You did a great job. Thank you, Jesus. You're awesome. You set me free, and everybody around me want to do the same thing for me." We get to be ambassadors. I mean, we get to go tell people about why I'm saved. Because if you really have no reason to be saved, you're not going to care. You're not going to talk about it. It's the joy of the Lord. It's just what did he say? Let him prophesy according to his faith. That means if you believe the Lord's giving you a word, share it. He's not looking for perfection. He used the disciples. They didn't get it. They didn't understand. They didn't get it. They didn't understand. I'm a disciple. Okay. You don't get it. You don't understand. You know I love you. You know I've given my life for you. I laid it down for you to give you life and that more abundantly. And if you can proclaim that, that's a start. And then I'll give you some more light as you walk in that. And then you just share more light. Jesus was rejected. So will you. But he's not rejecting you, he's rejecting the kingdom. So. Alright. Nobody, nothing. Nothing. Quiet crowd. Just keep that in mind for Christmas when you're with your family. Just say, "Lord, I don't want to be a I don't know how to say it, but Lord, you open up their hearts. You show me that there's a way. Give me wisdom how to enter into a conversation. Lord, let me just lay hands on someone and pray for them, touch them, and let them know I love them." And continue to remember why Christmas is Christmas. Daily. And enjoy the Lord. Because He enjoys you. Right? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that in your kingdom, you don't leave us as orphans. But you've given us your spirit by which we can cry out, "Abba, Father, Daddy." So, Lord, we just pray that as we go from here, Lord, that we would have this on our heart and mind just to enjoy being part of your kingdom, that we would yield to you, and as we do, and you bring people around us.